Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Sorry for the warm weather here or the cold weather here for some. Amen. Hallelujah. We had some people come to visit us during the crossover to the new year, and they were wearing very light clothes and t-shirts, and we were freezing. And we thought we put, of course, heat in the house, expecting them. And when they came in, they said, this place is too hot. And we were feeling cold. Amen?
Amen.
So they said, where we came from, we live below minus degree. Amen?
Amen?
So they are so used to cold area, and when it was cold for us here, it's warm for them. Amen?
Amen.
So sorry for the cold weather here. They are system is going through some headache. Amen. It should be ready by next week. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The body can adjust easily. It's just the mind. Just tell the mind it's warm here. Amen. And you'll feel warm very soon.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In all things, give thanks. We didn't plan for it, but since it's happened that it's cold here, we came prepared. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited in my spirit because the Spirit of the Lord is excited. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen.
I really see the wisdom of God when it comes to the visions of the Lord. God doesn't see the way man sees. Amen. We are human, we see through our human limitations and human ability, but God sees through His own ability and through His own power. This morning, the Lord was bringing something to my spirit I want to share with you. Hallelujah. I'll read the scripture, you don't have to turn there. And when we get to the scripture, we turn to our share with you. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amen? As sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, pray. Ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the what? The harvest. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will do what? That he will send forth laborers into his what? Harvest. Amen? Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great. The need is great. Jesus looked around and he told his disciples, pray that the God of harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest, because the harvest is great, but the laborers are what? Few. The whole reason I read this is to bring out one word that is saying that prayer will release, and that word is send forth, and he will send forth. The word in Greek is called ekibalo. Amen? The word in the Greek is called ekibalo. Is the word to cast out, to thrust forth. It's the same word actually in Greek for the word when you are casting out devils. It's the same word, that word cast out. Cast out is a force. Thrust out. Launch out. Thrust out. Cast out. Thrust out is the word ekibalo. So you see, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he will ekibalo laborers. Amen? And he will trust for laborers. Another way to look at this is the life of a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman, when she is conceived with a seed, that seed goes through transformation process, metamorphosis. Amen? And that seed is growing from stage to stage, from stage to stage, from level to level, from stage to stage, from level to level. Amen? Until that seed has now become mature enough that it's now a baby, ready to be harvested into the world. That baby is now ready, 9 months, 42, 9 months, ready for to enter into a new arena of life. Amen? When the baby is ready, I want you to, because what the Lord is doing for me to say to you today is the vision for 2020. We are going to be hearing about God's vision for 2020 and what the Lord wants to do. Amen? Yes. I want you to know that whether the mother of the child, which is thank God for up to me, amen? She does have a living experience, so it's fresh. After me, as long as you wanted that baby to come back in 6 months, 5 months, you won't be able to come back to me. You can. It's not in your power. Amen? And that baby too might be interested in coming out. Amen? But it's not time. The mother has to endure, wait, to give that baby all the baby needs. And the baby's impedance, no understanding of what's happening. Also, the baby want to come out because shocking into this place. But there's nothing the mother can do, there's nothing the baby can do. Amen? They'll try their best, but there's nothing they can do. Stephen, is that true? Can you do anything to help your wife, your baby come out on time? Before time? Nothing. So, that's why the scripture says, it's not by man, it's not by power, but by my spirit. I won't get ahead of myself by the grace of God. But baby can do nothing to come out before time, because it's appointed for that baby to mature in the womb before coming to the next stage of life. Then the mother has to endure. You need to see after me and see this. They had to endure that 9 months and all that the exam is going to write. Endure to wait for the appointed time. Everybody say appointed time.
When the appointed time comes, amen, the baby cannot stop what will happen. The mother cannot stop what will happen. Now, forget about technology today where doctors can make things happen. I'm talking about when technology has the capacity through natural birthing season. When the time comes for that baby to come out, the mother, if she chooses to wait, she's wasting her time. The baby too cannot say, let me stay another day extra. The baby will be what? Thrust out. The word ekbalo is what happens when it is right for you to move. Nothing can stop God from moving you. When it's not time for you to move, with destiny, you can't do anything to go before God. So that baby, when the mother is pushing, what causes her to push? Because there are things beginning to happen to that woman's whole system. The water is breaking, she can't stop those things. They begin to shake, things begin to happen to that woman, begin to position her, the baby is changing, positioning, things are happening that the mother can't stop. It's nature. And the baby can't stop. And when these things are happening, there are signs for the baby to get ready to be ekibaled, to be thrust out. Amen? And the baby is pushed out of the womb. She push, 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 and the baby goes boom out. Amen. Ekibaled. Hallelujah. Amen. And everybody rejoices. I have good news for you. The children of Israel, before they became a people, God spoke to Abraham. And he said, the children of Israel are going to be incubated. They're going to be in a foreign place for quite some time. Use the word 400 years. He said, but when the time comes, there will be a fire. They will be thrust out by Pharaoh. They will be pushed out of that place. They will come out, but they will not come out empty. Amen? But what happened? They found themselves in a condition, in a situation after Joseph died. They didn't plan for it. They were literally held captive. They were in a situation they cannot change it. They cannot do anything to come out of Egypt. And Egypt cannot do anything to release them. As long as they were in that period of time, God says they will be there. Nothing they could do to come out. Nothing Egypt could do to bring them out. Amen? But when the time came for them to come out, nothing could stop Pharaoh from letting them out. Every attempt Pharaoh made to stop them to come out, it was the signs that prepared them to come out. God had to do a few things in Egypt. I kept doing some things in Egypt. And when the appointed time came, Pharaoh had to thrust them out. Pharaoh had to push them out. But through the literally wrong out, after so much signs. Amen? Amen. Because of destiny. My brothers and sisters, just like the children of Israel, the God that created man has a vision for his creation. He has a vision. He didn't just put up there and say, I don't know what the future will be, I don't
I just put them here, let them decide their time, let them do whatever they like, and then, no,
he has a vision. He has a vision for what he created.
And so, just like the days of the children of Israel in Egypt, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, some of them didn't understand why they were there. They didn't know how long they were there. They didn't really were just leaving. They were more concerned about their bondage, about life, about their lack, about what they need to do to survive. They were just literally blinded by this situation in Egypt. Pharaoh on his own was just influenced by the Satan of this world, and he just thought he was God, and he just was just ruling his own kingdom and being who he is. Just everybody had their time. What? Why? But all this while, Pharaoh thought he was God. Children of Israel thought they were just living life. God already planned the future. God had an expected end for their time. God had a plan. Amen? So the same way, as God allowed the plan to work out, most times men just ignorantly just leave. Amen? Amen? But that doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. So God used that as an example to show to us that even now, he says, I have a plan for you. And the plan I have for you are good plans. And the end of that plan has a very good future for those who look to him. Amen? Unfortunately, in every generation, I have gone through the same thing with Egypt. In every generation, the circumstances of life, the things people go through, tend to cause them to just settle for this kind of vision. For life, for situations, some natural problems, they never break through the structure of this one to say, what is God's plan for me? What is God's plan for us? What is God doing? What did God say to our father? What is it about my generation? Many people don't break out of life situation to seek God for this. But God is always faithful, like the children of Israel, and to raise up men and women who will keep bringing the awareness of God's plans and purposes. Maybe some people will wake up and align themselves to that. Amen? So, while they were in Egypt, there was a man, and that's, I want you to picture yourself in as God, as the Lord, just as the Lord's personality. There was a man in Egypt, his name was Moses. Amen? There was something he had in him. He had compassion. He felt very, very bothered with what the children of Israel were going through. He was really not happy. Unknown to him, that is something God has put in him. That is something God has put in him that God wants to use to reach that generation. Every one of you sitting here, there is a God-given purpose. And that purpose is very connected, it's wired. You can taste a little bit of the purpose through what we call the passion in you. There are things that make you happy when everything is going in that direction. But when you don't see that thing, it makes you miserable, it makes you sad. It steals your joy, it takes everything from you more than anything else. For example, Moses had money. Moses was in the palace. Moses had everything going for him. That would make anybody happy. But because something has been placed in him from his calling, from his destiny, that thing is unfulfilled. That thing, when he goes out, He does not like to see injustice. He does not like to see people oppressed, especially his own people.
There's something in him, with all the money, with all the throne, with all the things he has inherited as a prince of Egypt, one of the richest nations of that time. He was miserable. He wasn't happy. Because of one thing. God has written him that is not fulfilled. What was it? He hates injustice.
So because God put that in him, he felt, my calling is to bring justice, to bring deliverance to these people, to bring justice to your friends, to bring set the captive free.
And all the money you give to me, all the things you give to me in this world,
I will not be happy for dear life.
Amen? And if I don't see that happen, I'm miserable. The same thing happened to the man called Abraham.
Abraham had everything you could dream of.
He had favor, he had power with kings and over kings. Abraham, everything. But there's something God has put in his heart that he has to fulfill. And that is to be the father of nations. And then he was barren.
As long as he had everything, as long as that thing is still being not fulfilled, he cannot be satisfied.
So, in every one of our callings, God has put passion in there. There's something God has put in us. Some of us have discovered, some of us have not. But that thing is what God wants to use through you to give something to your generation, to your workplace, to your denomination, to your church, to your family. Whatever that thing is, if you discover it, that thing is going to speak for you. It's going to favor you. So, in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible says that Habakkuk was waiting on God, and God told him, write that vision down. Vision is what you see, or what God is revealing to you, that has to do with your life, or has to do with your generation, or has to do with a purpose that your life is connected to. Because without it, you are just physical man living with a spiritual blindness. Without a vision, a spiritual vision, you are just living an earthly life, completely blinded by the God of this world. The God of this world is nothing but just, if you only are living for his money, you're blind to everything God has created you to be. So, you must have a spiritual vision. And a spiritual vision is the very reason you were born and created to fulfill. And you are unique, or you are joined with people in that same vision in a unique way to fulfill that thing. And that thing will always bring favor on your life. Amen? So, that's why Abraham was never happy until Isaac came. And that's why Moses, with everything in heart, he was a miserable man. And you all know what happened. He was so burdened with this, he wanted to do it in his strength. Another thing that I want to share with you is, when God reveals that area of passion for you, the tendency is that we always, it's very human to try to make it happen in the flesh. But then, God, if God is going to use it as an arrow, God will have to eliminate the ability of it to happen in the flesh. And that's what leads us now to the training season, where that is released. So Moses was trying to do that and said, God said, it's not going to work because I want to do something greater with you. So you all know what happened. He was taken out of Egypt and put in the wilderness. And another thing I want to share with you is, when God wants to kill your human ability to cause that passion to run, he's going to put you in a situation like a child is, where until God is true with what he's doing, you can't do anything to come out. You can't
You can't come out of that wilderness. You can't deal with that in yourself. You have to surrender to God. You have to give yourself to God. And God has to take His time and kill it as you surrender and deal with that thing until it's done. And then when God is done with that thing, it's no more in your strength. Moses said, God, when it's time, Moses says, God, I can't speak, I can't do this. God says, I will do it now, and I will do it through you. Amen?
Amen.
So now Moses had an experience in this 40 years time of waiting. He couldn't come and couldn't. He had an experience, and the experience he had was God met him in Exodus chapter 3. And he said, Moses, the time for the vision has come. You are going to be the first partaker. You're going to taste this. And then you're going to grow. And you're going to begin to fulfill that which I've called you to do. Amen? So Moses experienced the beginning of that season. And you all know what Moses went through. Started with the burning bush experience. And the serpent, the tree, and his hand became leprous. God had to give him a supernatural sign. For God to say, these 40 years that you're shut in is over. And the people that are willing to kill you, that you're hiding from, they are dead. Now, I'm taking you out of this wilderness. It's over. The season is over. And I'm trusting you back into Egypt. That thing you have in your heart from a child, that thing you carry, I want to now fulfill it for my glory. And so Moses came out. Amen? I said all this because I want to talk to you about you. This year is the year 2020. And I told you last week that God intentionally allow us to live in this generation so that this year we will continuously see the word 2020 until we are awakened to the visions of God for our lives. Another example of passion that leads to your calling, because God is going to do something here with all of us, is the life of Peter and Andrew in James and John. These were the mighty apostles of Jesus before they became disciples. Amen? They had a passion. They had a passion. And that passion became their trade. They were fishermen. They were fishermen. Amen? And at one point in their trade, they started fishing. Last week we read it in the book of Luke chapter 5. They were fishing and fishing and fishing. They fished all night, all day. They did everything as professional fishermen. And at this point, they caught nothing. They were discouraged. Amen? They were discouraged and they would give up. They washed their nets and God was watching them. We talked about it last week. My brothers and sisters, some of the things the enemy is trying to use to discourage you are connected to your destiny. Peter and James, as they were washing their nets, Jesus came in their boat, and what did he do? We talked about last week. He finished using their boat, and then he told them, launch out into the deep. Amen? When they walked out into the deep, they caught so much fish. Supernatural. Guess what happened? If you were there, you just made your biggest Wall Street money. If you were in business, you just made the biggest profit ever. You just doubled your Christmas. I mean, whatever business, whatever things, you just got promoted, you just got blessed beyond measure. That's what Peter experienced. they enclosed such a breakthrough of faith. They were pouring into ownership. At that moment was when what was their passion in the physical. They were not just catching fish. They had a heart to feed people. They wanted to feed the hungry. There was a trade that has to do with making people, ending starvation, but at least providing for their needs. And God told them, He said, you know what? I hear your heart cry. I see your heart cry. Some of you might not understand what I'm saying, but not every person that is a doctor became a doctor just because they want money. It was because one of their uncles died of sickness, their mother died of disease, and they made a decision, I will be a doctor to help people stay alive. Some became lawyers because they want to fight for justice. So many people, their profession is connected to their calling. Jesus saw their heart was to end salvation, to feed people. And through that, their money was made. He says, you know what? They left everything, they follow me. And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of what? Men. The area of your passion, if you really understand it, is connected to how God wants to use you to bless your generation and your family. He saw that they were so passionate. They wanted to feed people, they wanted to do things. He was not talking about money. And just to watch them got nothing. They were discouraged. They were giving up. They folded and they were so discouraged. In their discouragement, God said, I will even take you to another level, fulfilling this desire in your heart. But it's going to be spiritual. And that's what happened to Moses. And Moses, when God was soon with him, God sent him back to Egypt. Why did I use this illustration? I want to say to you humbly, so that you can get this message for yourself, the way God is provoking my spirit this morning. It happened to me. I was in Nigeria, and for some reason, there's just something that I just couldn't endure people suffering. I just couldn't live to see people suffer. And two, I just couldn't live to see people in poverty struggling. And also, oppression, injustice. It's something you can't do nothing about, but it just makes you miserable, it pains your heart. And I was distracted by this world and the visions of this world. But as I started regaining focus, I did engineering because I couldn't pass my medical exams. I just wanted to do something. But in my heart, every one of those things to me was nothing. I wanted to make money. I just wanted to make money to help people, to do something. In Nigeria, the places I grew up, at one point, I was almost should have been led into politics. Because the idea I gave to some politicians in the state, one idea almost shook all of them up. And they wanted to drive me into politics, but God just pushed me away. So, I had a dream, my spirit was burning, it was just so burning. I said, if I do engineering, I will live on paycheck. I will do business. So I tried so many ways after school. Everything I did was just block here, block here, block here, block here. Every door was closed. That's a short story. I came to a point where all my friends were prospering. All the
friends I knew, the ones I went to school with, they were getting jobs, they were buying cars, and the ones that were my friends, I mean, things were going good for them. And things were getting worse for me. It was really bad. At one point, I was ashamed to go out. I was ashamed to go to Paris. I was a worldly person. I was ashamed to go to Paris. I was ashamed to even go out in public where my friends would be there. Because they'd be asking me questions. What are you doing now? I was very embarrassed. So, at the worst moment, at this moment, I was being tempted with all kinds of things. And I kept rejecting that temptation. Every door was closed. And I cried out. One day I was not a Christian. I have been to the Catholic Church. But I knew I was just crying to God. So I took the, I remember reading the book of Psalms a lot. You know, all through stages of my life. And I remember that David cries out. So I started crying out. God help me. I was in the room. God help me. Why am I born? What is my purpose? What is, why am I here? God, if you can bring me out of this, I was just crying. I had a degree. I had peace. I had praise. All the connections wasn't working. I was zero. I started crying in that room. I knelt down. I've never done that before. And as I was crying, for the first time, it's like I stopped and I looked back. On the wall is the word, your miracle is on the way. Amen? To be brief about all that happened in that season, in that very season, from nowhere, supernaturally God opened a door. One door after the other, through a pastor friend, one door after the other. And the next thing, I wasn't thinking about it, I wasn't dreaming about it, I was planning for other areas. The door opened for me to go to the embassy of Nigeria. And I got there, I was the only one giving visa with a pastor. And as soon as that happened, I was here in the United States. The moment I came here, I don't need any rocket scientist. I don't need any preacher to tell me. I knew it was the hand of God. I knew that it was for a purpose. I knew that my coming here had nothing to do with me. I knew that God just equivalent at the season where He has brought me to the end of me trying to live life, me trying to make life. Close that door. And He equivalent me to this place. And from the moment I was in Miami there, I started crying out, God, what is the purpose? God, deliver me, set me free, hide me from any, my own friend, anything that will mislead me. Whatever I am in this nation for, guide me. Let me find that purpose. The next thing, I was equivalent to Cleveland. Amen? Why did I go through all this? There are some of you here. There are some of us that are not here right now. We fight and we fight and we fight and we are miserable, and sometimes we come to the lowest of the lowest of our life and we are wondering, God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, why is that happening? My sisters, you're fighting with destiny. There are some things you can't fight. When God has His hands on you, the fight you're doing, you're just trying to have your way. You're just trying at the pregnant time, you're just trying to come out, or the woman, you're just trying to get something to have your way. When destiny has a grip on you, there is nothing you can do. The best prayer you can pray is, God, I surrender. The best thing you can do is, God, I surrender. The moment you pray that prayer of surrender, God will now gradually begin to order your step and start establishing peace. What God has planned for you will take you where
whatever you,
you can have 20 degrees,
you can be a millionaire, you will never get there.
What God has for you will speak to nations, will speak to cities. What God has for you, you will satisfy that passion, that need. God will meet it in ways you never dreamt about. Because God has a bigger plan for you. But God was so human. We are trying to do the things we can, the things we're able to, and that thing fights so much against the will of God, and we think, where is God? Why is God doing? Why can't I do this? God is saying, I want to take you out of your limitation. Just surrender. So that's, I want to let you know, the moment you surrender to God, there might be more waiting process, there might be some process, but every season, when God is through with a season, God will equivalue you to the next season. God will want you, God will trust you. You'll be sitting here wondering like Moses, what am I doing? 40 days. When it was time, God just pushed him out. It was over. He went to Jethro, it's over. God pushed him. He was back to Egypt. And he got to Egypt, the same thing. Amen? So I have come to discover, when you are a woman, a man of destiny, surrender to God. Surrender to God. Yield to the grace of God and let Him work out details. Give Him time to work out details. And that details always has to do with God removing hindrances inside of us. Now, the bigger picture of why I'm sharing this. God makes a way when there seems to be no way. Why does it look like it seems to be no way? Because when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Red Sea blocked the road. Amen? Only God can make that way. You all know the story of River Jordan. The only way they can go to their promise, God has to part River Jordan. Those are ways that seems to be no way, and God makes a way. Amen? Now, I was in that situation. The Lord spoke to me last year. He said, last year, 2019, you are coming to the end of a cycle. It's not just you, but this is you standing, you are a proxy for what I'm about to do with the body of Christ, with man's eye. But I want to use you to experience this transitional cycle. Amen? And when God said that to me, my mom died the next, that very week. And God, that was the end of a cycle. And the Lord says, just like Isaiah 6, the year King Uzziah died. Say, you always remember the time your mom died, because the time your mom died is the beginning of your commission. The year of the beginning of your commission. Because unless a seed goes into the ground, it cannot bring forth destiny. So the Lord spoke that to me. I noted down, I wrote it down. I didn't know what that would look like. But as we started getting into more of the feast and the season towards October, it was then God gave me a mighty sign. A mighty sign. A mighty miracle. And that miracle, God says, this is the end. It's like Moses, the wilderness is over. That cycle is over. The sign. A sign is an undeniable sign that this is the season for you now to enter into destiny calling. Amen? So I received it and I was experiencing some things with it. I shared a few things with the church, with my Zion, and how we entered. And as we're now entering into 2020, God started clarifying. It's like 2020 vision. God started making it clear for me. The year of 2020, starting with me last year, is like Moses seeing the burning bush, seeing all the signs,
And then went to the children of Israel and tell them, this is the time for you to come out of Egypt. The season for you to come out of Egypt is now. I know it because I just encountered the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here are the signs for it. Here's the evidence that 40 years of being in the wilderness is over. I've come to tell you that the time for you to come out is now. I want to tell you, my Zion, there is nothing you do about it. Just like a child in the womb. There is nothing you can do. You are going to be thrust into the very purpose of which you were born this year. You can't stop it, you can't manipulate it. The passion in you, the things in you, some of you have known it for years and you're tired of trying and you dropped it. It's like Moses, that's fine. Some of you have not known it, but this year, God's 2020 vision for your destiny will be ignited. The very purpose for which you were born will be activated. God's 2020 vision for you is the very purpose for which you're living in such a time as this. It doesn't matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter what you have, however God will use you, whatever your passion, what will make you happy. The very reason, like Moses for justice, like Abraham for mother of nations, like Joseph, whatever it is that God has put in your spirit, that you have been discouraged, you've not seen it happening. Doors have been closed, you've not seen things happening. You've been trying, you've not seen things happening. This year, God is making a way for you to see things happen. Just like they came out of the power of hell, just like they came out of the bondage of Egypt, the slavery, the poverty of Egypt, this year, your destiny will speak. Whether they liked it or not, whether they liked it or not, it was God's time. You know why I can say this to you boldly? Because last year, just like Moses, I experienced that. There were things I tried everything possible to do, didn't work. There were things I used everything to every, it didn't work. There were things I prayed, fasted, other things happened, but specifically these things didn't come. And when it was God's time, it happened without efforts. God opened his door. Just like Moses, God gave me a sign. If you remember last year, I keep telling you the miracles, you know, things that happened, great things that only the Lord knows. There is a sign the Lord gave to me. And with that sign, nobody can tell me I have not encountered a miracle. And God used that miracle to speak to me last year. And then says, now boldly, just like Moses went to Egypt, let the church know that their time of deliverance is 2020. The time of God's vision for you is 2020. The time of unprecedented miracles is 2020. The time where anything that contains with your destiny will receive vengeance is 2020. That's why the vision God gave from Esther chapter 5 to Esther chapter 9 is really a prophetic word for now. The time that you'll be remembered is this season. The time God will lift you up, bring forth, highlight your destiny is this season. The time God will take vengeance of failures in your life is this season. The time God will bring you from poverty to riches is this season. We break the bondage of the poverty of Egypt. The time God will set the captives free. There are so many people here bound to all kinds of things. You'll be set free this year. It doesn't matter what kind of bondage, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever is your boundaries, God will set you free. Whatever spirit that is troubling you, this is your year of deliverance. It doesn't matter how impossible the door is closed. It doesn't matter. This year, God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way. Just as God passed the mercy for them, and what God did for me will do for you. to show you your season has come. My brothers and sisters, nothing can deny me saying my season came last year. But I'm working every process as the Spirit of God leads. So I am here to announce to you, the season for God to break out among us is now. The season for deliverance is now. The season for the captives to set is now. The season of God's timing, we've been saying all the promises we were receiving last year, started last year, but it's overflowing into this year. It's God's 2020 vision, and God's vision for you is that you'll be set free, and that everything Jesus died for, you'll no more deny the privileges. Amen? So this is good news. The year of the kingdom of God presiding over our destiny is now. Now, it's not only for you. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because God is trying to awaken you and align your spiritual senses so that you can take this moment serious. Right now, I don't care who comes to church and who doesn't, because I know God will raise up the people for this season. And this season is the season of harvest. Amen? God is going to bring fruits. God will cause this sin with harvest. Amen? Now, it's not only you. This is for the body. Just hear it. I want to also tell you this. Just like a pregnant woman, when you start breaking one, things start happening. The woman moves, and up to me, it's just fresh. You feel the sins, right? You know what it is when it goes to God. God doesn't do anything without signs, without something to give you a little clue. Because we're human. Amen? The children of Israel never come out of Egypt overnight, Pastor Ben, is it? They went through some pleasures and situations, just little what things. Amen? I want you to know that what I experienced last year, what I see God about to do with our apostles and the church, is not just about us alone. God is preparing nations to experience what will happen. Right now, this year, Israel will experience the third election without a president. They have two without a president. This year, Israel will have a president. They will elect somebody. Israel will enter into a new phase. They never dreamt. God used two elections to show them there is a will in the spirit for who will be the next president of Israel, because he's going to fulfill the prophecy. Right now, if you are sensitive to the virus of politics, Russia has a significant role to play in the last days. And President Putin has now positioned himself against the thought of what time. Resign all his cabinets. Never heard. Everybody resigned. And he's changing the cabinets to program himself another 8 years in office. It's called position. Amen? Now, I know you might not understand what it is. It is not a coincidence that from the moment the 2016 election was mentioned in America, the Russian name has never left American politics till today. That they were instrumental. Russia, 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 Russia. I can't go into details with you, but everything happening in the Middle East has to do with Russia and America. Then the final one I want to bring your attention to. Now this is not just an ordinary season. I just spoke to you prophetically as a church, as a people, for us to now release ourselves, surrender to God's plan, because whether you like it or not, God wants to bless you. Your destiny will speak. Amen? America, for the third time in America's history. Do you understand what you're hearing? Third time in America. America is over 250 years old. Third time in the history of this nation, the president has been impeached. And beginning this week, the Senate will begin their aspect of this mystery that is about to take place. My brothers and sisters, it is not a coincidence. There is a shaking in America. A major shaking that the mercy of God has to direct. Because if the devil is able to push this process the way it wants to go, I promise you, you will see what will happen to the economy of this nation overnight. You will see what will happen to the streets of America overnight. From nowhere. So as believers, we cannot be blind watching. We can't say we're spiritual, we're Christian, without being sensitive to the spiritual climate of this season. God had to awaken me with three dreams to show me this is a serious spiritual season in America. Three encounters I have in a dream. Destiny is speaking. Amen? So, it's not a time for us to sleep, it's time to pray. Amen? One, for us to be surrendered to the plans and purposes of God. One, for us to pray for the nation we love, that the enemy will not disturb this moment, because it will affect everybody. Amen? There is war. You might not see it, but there is war. The nation is divided, and we must pray for unity. Amen?
Hallelujah!
Is it still cold in here?
Yes.
Amen! After all this message is cold in here? Okay. Amen! So I want to encourage you this morning. God has a plan for you. He has an expectation, and that expectation is blessing. I want to say to everyone struggling, last week we talked about discouragement. It doesn't matter how discouraged you are, God is making a way for you. You might not see it, but this is the season He's making a way. Ways you cannot see, but this is your season. God has remembered you, not because of your righteousness, not because of anything, but you're because of the covenant He made with Jesus, that His bride must be set free, and His church must come back into the presence of His glory. Amen? And everything the canker worm, the caterpillar, every wealth the enemy has stolen, God says the time for restoration is now. Amen? And God is speaking to you. At your job, wherever you are, believe that God has a better plan for you. Amen? Let's stand up together. This morning, I want us to take a moment before we leave this place. I don't know what your passion is. I don't know what your passion is. You know. Some of you might not know what your passion is. The word this morning is that your passion is connected to destiny, the plans of God for you. And in 2020, the visions of God for your life will come alive. And for you to enter into this, knowingly or unknowingly, we need to surrender. So we will take a quick few minutes to come to this altar. I don't know if somebody is here to place something. Come to the altar, or if you can't come to the altar, make an altar where you are. But I recommend you come to this altar and give to God your passion. Surrender anything and everything that you know that God has called you. If you know it, surrender it. If you don't know it, say, God,
show me my passion, or I leave, I go surrender to you. I want this 2020 for it to be your vision for me, your purpose for me, your future for me, your plans for me, and I surrender it. Let's take a moment and do it. That's really the call for this morning's message, because God wants to surprise every one of us in 2020, that He cares for us. He has a bigger plan for us. Thank you, Lord.